We entered the country through Egypt, hitching a ride with three Libyans. Two of them had been working for days smuggling footage of the horrors over the border for the world to see. On their way back, they'd helped journalists and aid convoys enter the country. The third man, who didn't want to be filmed, was returning to Libya, having taken his neighbor to a hospital in Egypt after his leg was blown off by an anti-aircraft gun. We reached the border.
Thousands of people have been streaming out of Libya in the last week. Many workers from Asia, from Africa, and as you can see here, many people are still in transit. Many people have got a long way to go to get home.
Thousands of people have tried to flee the country since violence began. Some have been looked after by their companies and governments. Others are on their own.
We've just crossed the Libyan border. It's just after midnight now. On the Egyptian side, we've passed about four or five checkpoints. But what's interesting about this side of the border is that there's no military, no police, only a few local people who are checking passports and writing down names of people who are coming in. A sign that the opposition have completely taken over the east of the country. I want to show you this right here. This is written in Arabic. We will never give up. We will be victorious or we will die. And one more thing, this flag here, this is the flag that was used before Gaddafi came to power, a proclamation for a new Libya.
Violence in Libya started on the 15th of February. Due to the news blackout enforced by the regime, it took days for reliable information and footage to reach audiences outside the country. This is El Baida, a small city in the east of the country and scene to some of the heaviest fighting. We went to the only hospital in town. The chief medical officer, Farak Saba, was keen to show us around.
He's 19 years old.
19?
Yes, 19 years old, and he has six bullets. Abdominal, pelvis, and a fractured hip. Can you see the x-ray of the bullet? Total hip bone fractures by the virus bullet.
Six bullets?
Six bullets, yes. You see? Fracture of the hip bone.
Is he going to be fine, though?
He's going to be okay.
Yes, good.
Hi there.
Mahaba.
How are you?
How are you feeling? More importantly.
Boys.
Thank you.
Shisma, can you...
My name is Bakr Naim.
Bakr Naim. How do you feel now? You're smiling.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Thank God. Are you happy about it?
Alhamdulillah.
He's a soldier and he refused to shoot the people. Then they shot them from the back.
Mercenaries shot them.
Yes. His leader is dead because of they shot them.
The leader, the captain.
Yes, he's captain.
In the 5 days after violence began, 1,240 people needed treatment at the hospital. Over 300 of them required major surgery. Hallways were overcrowded and training areas were turned into operating theatres.
This area was not for patients. It was only for training and teaching program.
But you've turned it into...
No, in a bit I use it for the patients.
And how many...
Expired. Did.
Yeah.
63. I will give you the names and age. This is the names of the dead.
Does it say the ages as well?
Yes.
What else are the ages?
Yeah, this is a kid, 8 years old.
8 years old. How did he die, do we know?
By gunshot. By gunshot.
And how could that happen? I mean, was he just caught out?
I discussed with the family. They said that she was playing outside the home. And there was this foreigner soldier.
Joke,
he tried to escape from Baida city. And they shot anyone in the street. And they shot this girl when she's playing in front of her home.
Yeah. This is the security headquarters in Baza. Now, initially, protesters came here to demonstrate. Police took up positions on the roof and shot dead two people. These were the first two people killed in Libya since troubles began. This inspired more protesters to come, and the building, as you can see, was ransacked and burnt.
El Baida was also the first place in the country where the army turned and joined the protesters. We went to a military base on the outskirts of town.
Was the army asked to shoot on protesters?
Yeah, and kill my people.
You were ordered to
do
that?
Yeah, yeah, this never. So
when was the moment that you decided no more Gaddafi?
He's Gaddafi. Tell me, me soldier. Me so everybody is seizure. Tell him in papers, go outside, kill my own people. Me I can't kill my own people. This brother, this family, this all popular family.
I asked them whether they agreed with the message we see inscribed over buildings, that of we will never give up, we will be victorious, or we will die.
Yeah.
And you agree
we
with that?
We want freedom.
Yeah, stay here.
And now Libyan is the freedom.
Yes.
No Muammar Gaddafi.
I want to
and no our yes. family.
Please, yeah. I want to tell you something. I will tell you to Gaddafi, if you love in Libya, get out.
Yeah.
Get out. If you love Libya, get out.
Yeah. What happens if he stays, though? If he stays,
we are stay here. Yeah. We are in our country.
Yeah.
It's our country. I tell you, Gaddafi, if you love Libya,
go out.
Get out.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. Yeah.
Just
yes.
Libya, hurra, hurra, with Gaddafi, yatla barra. Libya, hurra, hurra, with Gaddafi, yatla barra.
With the army defecting en masse, it was left to mercenaries to combat the rebellion. Back at the hospital, we were taken to a secluded ward. This boy, a Libyan, along with the other kids in the room, was taken by the regime to areas in and around El Baida. Once there, they were given guns and told to shoot on protesters.
So they don't shoot anybody.
So just to get the story straight, I mean, kids like these, and a lot of them are young, is that right?
The young, yeah.
Kids
yeah.
like this.
He's a student, a student.
So they're flown to an area saying that it's part of a government program, and then they're given guns and told, taken to areas and told to shoot on their own people, shoot on protesters.
Yes.
The boys said that they didn't have time to learn how to use the weapons. When the gunfire started, they fled.
So effectively, the Gaddafi regime has tried to make a murderer out of this boy.
Yes, but they don't know.
The boy also said that he saw other mercenaries around him from other African countries.
The young people in this room are heavily suspected as having been shooting at their own people, shooting at protesters along with the mercenaries. But what's interesting, in this new Libya, they're being treated with a lot of respect, with a lot of care. Their families are being called, and we've just heard that soon, when their families come to collect them, they're going to be let go. No trial, they're going to be let go to freedom.
Outside the ward, we met Saeed. His brother was killed in the violence. I asked him what he was doing outside the room where the mercenaries were being treated.
And he said, it's not their fault. They're young, they're poor. It's the regime's fault. He's coming here to bring food to them.
Despite the horrors of the past week, Libyans in the east of the country are in an upbeat mood. In Libya's second city, Benghazi, there's a party going on.
With no government in the east of the country, you might expect chaos. However, security is relatively good, and society is organizing itself. When we get a taxi around the cities, we don't have to pay. Free food, free water is being given out, and banks, like the one behind me, are giving out free money, the equivalent of $180 per person. The bank says this is set to continue until Gaddafi falls. This truly is free Libya.
A media center has also been set up with local people using whatever skills they have to help out. There are guides giving tours to journalists, artists mocking the regime, administrators and IT experts all helping out in the media war against Gaddafi.
We're really in a very dynamic situation. Things are changing hour by hour. We are concentrating on making sure that the cities are functioning. So far, you can see we have no lootings, we have no problems. We're trying to keep that particular thing going. We have city councils established in all the liberated parts of the country, which take care of the daily operations. Now we are in the process of developing a national council that will give a face to this revolution to the world that can speak politically.
There is relative security. Society seems to be running perfectly well. How have you done that?
Libyans love Libya. And this is the first time in 42 years their nationalism have been ignited all over again.
This is Ara, one of the local organizers. She's lived in Benghazi all her life.
Ara, tell me how the attitude of people has changed from before this all happened to now.
How can I tell you this? It's been amazing. It's been a crazy couple of days. You've seen the sudden change of people's behavior. They're unbelievably friendly. Everyone's happy. Everyone, their spirits up to the sky. Everyone's really, really glad. And
before that, what were they like before that?
Before that, they were like, you can see the miserable faces around them. The way people actually look at each other. They've made this, this hatred between people. If some families have their money, have their jobs, have their comfortable life, other people would be jealous of them. Other people would try to destroy their properties. They're going to try to steal from them. It's been a miserable life. It's all I can say. But here now, everyone's friendly, everyone's laughing for you, everyone's smiling at each other. It's been a crazy smile over their faces.
This was Colonel Gaddafi's military stronghold in Benghazi. He also had a home here. Now, rebels attacked this place for 7 days, and when they finally overran it, Benghazi fell to the rebels, and with it, the whole east of the country.
This is Mehdi Mohamed Zeo, now famous in Benghazi. Mehdi loaded a car full of explosives and drove straight into the front gate. He was killed, and the gate was blown open. His sacrifice led to the overthrow of the complex. I was also told about a man who opened his shirt under a hail of bullets, pointing to his heart, challenging to be shot. He survived. Such stories of heroism are much in demand as the complex has now become Benghazi's number one tourist attraction, as local residents and their families take a look behind the now crumbling walls of the regime.
And welcome to Colonel Gaddafi's house in Benghazi. We've been told by the people here that he very rarely came to Benghazi. He only came here to sleep for an hour or two here and there. But this place isn't a house, it's a palace. Although I think it could do with a new lick of paint now.
We hope all things in Gaddafi to change. We need Gaddafi to die. We need all Libyans.
Is this a sign of his opulence? I mean, how much money has he wasted or spent?
We don't know.
By himself?
We don't know. Just himself, no.
Gaddafi and his family have an estimated wealth of anywhere between 20 and 60 billion US dollars. A figure not too hard to run up in one of the 10 richest oil-producing countries in the world. Despite this wealth, infrastructure and public services remain poor.
The crimes of Gaddafi continue to come to light. When rebels were liberating this camp, they heard noises from below the ground. And you can see here, these holes here. When they heard the noises, they started digging to try and find out what these noises were.
And then the rebels found what they were looking for.
Underneath here is a whole network of underground prisons. We're told that 40 people were liberated from this hole alone. We're also told that one man came up with a beard down to his waist who'd been here for over 20 years.
Every city in Libya has a complex or katiba like this. They are the power centers of the Gaddafi regime. For most, this is the first time they've seen inside. We found a whole range of different cells.
We've been told by people here that around 400 people were liberated from these prisons, many of them political prisoners. Life must have been pretty grim down here. We're told that food was thrown down through these grates here, and there's no lighting that I can see. Disgust at the Gaddafi regime goes back decades. In 1996, a group of prisoners started a small revolt in a prison to demand a fair trial. Gaddafi's solution? Kill them. He massacred over 1,200 of them.
This is Fawzia Al-Nusi. Her son was killed at Abu Salim prison. Crimes such as the Abu Salim massacre are well known by the Libyan people. They have also been highlighted by international human rights groups. Despite the knowledge of these crimes, governments from around the world have done business with him. The West have supported him for oil deals. Tony Blair famously paying him a visit in 2004. The so-called deal in the desert secured British oil companies contracts worth hundreds of millions of dollars. In return, Gaddafi received military equipment and training for his troops in Britain.
Behind me, a makeshift memorial for the 1,200 people killed in the prison has been put up. This used to be a dirty secret of the Gaddafi regime, but now people are getting the opportunity to mourn and to even learn about their own history over the last 41 years.
We want to be wealthy and healthy, but the most important in Benghazi, we don't want very good houses, but we want roads, we want sewage, we want good hospitals, we want good education. We have none of it, because Muammar Gaddafi wants to make the people always without culture, because he knows with culture people will start to make problems.
We drove past some places in Libya, very poor areas, and we were told that these areas didn't support Gaddafi.
No,
yeah, therefore, that's right. Therefore, they don't get anything.
That's right. The men who support Gaddafi, they say, "Oh, Fatah, Fatah." They kiss his hand.
Fatah has this
one kiss. Maybe one kiss on his hand. He's got 10,000.
Gives him money.
They have no dignity. These people with Gaddafi have no dignity.
He destroyed our education. He destroyed our.
I mean, I've heard that he didn't. He wanted to stop people learning other languages as well.
Yeah, we haven't.
And purposely put the education system down.
Yes, he stopped English, he stopped French language. We have intelligent people. We have really, really, really good people. Libyan people are really nice. They just need a chance to prove themselves. He gave them no chance.
So what next for the rebels? We went to a military base in Benghazi.
So long as Gaddafi remains holed up in Tripoli, the revolution is not over. Now all around me are local Benghazi citizens ready to receive military training. Why are you joining now?
I want to protect my people, my nations, my country. This is a very unfair system.
Are you afraid you might get hurt, killed?
No, I am not afraid.
And do you think you have to get rid of them in Tripoli?
Well, inshallah, I hope so. May Allah to finish Gaddafi and his soldiers these days. We don't want more blood. OK? okay, we want to stop the blood.
Do you think there has to be more blood for him to go?
If he leave us, I think the blood will stop.
And can you defeat Gaddafi by yourself, or do you need foreign intervention?
Well, we need only one help from American government and British government. Stop a fly zone for Gaddafi.
Do you want them to attack?
No. We don't need anyone to come to our country. If they come, we need peace. We want peace. If they come here, the land will be fire, and we'll burn them.
Gaddafi purposely kept the military weak in fear that it would attempt a coup against him. The soldiers were keen to show us how well equipped they were. However, we were acutely aware that this was also a media show. They may have plenty of small arms and anti-aircraft weapons, but it's unclear whether this is enough to march on Tripoli. While consolidating their gains in the east, some rebel fighters were heading west. However, a major push on towards Tripoli has still not been launched. As this film goes to air, Gaddafi's forces are fighting back in the west of the country. The cities of Zawiya, Misrata, and Ras Lanuf are in dispute as pro-government and rebel forces battle it out. Civil war is looming. After tasting freedom, it's difficult to see how the people in the east of Libya could go back to autocratic rule. We will never give up, we'll be victorious, or we will die. Is that right?
We will live free, or we will die free. But we will live free, or we'll die free, but in freedom, always.
All of our family, we have one message for Muammar. We will kill you, believe us, we will kill you.
This man here has had three members of his family killed. One in 1996 at the prison, one in 1998, and one of them, his son, was killed here in the battle for this military complex. The east of Libya is free, and judging by the determination of the people here, it's only a matter of time till Gaddafi is gone.